is Pep Talk with Meg, a little Don Henley to get your day started. Love this song, The End of Summer, Boys of Summer.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. So we are here, Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, every Monday through Friday, 9 to 11. If you've got a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. 850-437-1620. It's Tuesday, and you know what that means. This is The Garden Line with our host, Mayor Mike Wiggins.
It is Tuesday, and I am glad to be here.
And I'm glad to have you here.
Well, I'm glad you're here too, man. Thank you.
Okay, we're all happy.
If you weren't here, I wouldn't be here.
Oh, well, I love this. This is one of my favorite days of the week. Tuesdays are always great. I learned so much from Mike. He's certainly our gardening expert with, I can say this, decades of experience from your business that you had for many, many years. And if folks don't know, tell us a little bit about your background, because there might be someone tuning in for the first time.
Well, it was fun. We, way back in the day after, well, we'll go way back, way back.
Back in the day.
After I spent, did my duty, I spent 4 years as a naval officer.
Right.
And, when I got out, what do you do? I had a lot of experience in the Navy, for example, with budgets and money and that type of thing. But it was a family business. It was called Escambia Farmers Supply Company.
Oh, okay.
It was one of the largest garden centers in the region.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Dad started it.
Uh-huh.
And Dad, it was funny, he said, I have a brother who lives in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Great place.
Anyway, back at the end of the day, Dad said, okay, I'm getting ready to retire. It's put up or shut up.
Oh, wow.
Because is anybody interested in pursuing this business?
Uh-huh.
Because there's a lot of opportunities for expansion.
Right.
And so my brother said no. Mm-hmm. I said yes.
Wow.
And the rest was history.
How many years ago was that?
Oh, my goodness. That had to be in the early 70s.
My goodness.
Early 70s. In any event, so we did that, and we got into some different things, new locations. We started what was a very successful business, Wiggins Lawn Spray Service.
Okay, that's what I'm familiar with.
Where we went out and sprayed and fertilized, did all that. And so we did that. And then finally, as I aged, I said, it may be time to give it up. So we sold the business. Had a very pleasant transaction with the new owner.
Uh-huh.
And here I am.
And then somewhere in there, you were the mayor of Pensacola.
I was the mayor. Yeah, I was for a matter of years.
I was
on the city council almost 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
And people ask me all the time, I think we've had this conversation, Mike, aren't you glad you're out of that political mess? And you know my reply?
What?
No, I'm not glad.
You loved it.
I loved it.
I know you did.
I really, really enjoyed it. I met people I would never meet. I went places I would have never gone. And people say, what was the greatest thing you ever did? Well, we did big stuff. We did a lot of big stuff. But still, dealing with the public and the constituents and their needs and trying to solve some of their problems was still the highlight of my political career. I really enjoyed it.
Well, we loved having you as the mayor. That's when I first met you. And we need more politicians like you that have your heart.
Well, aren't you nice?
I mean that with all sincerity. We really, really do.
Well,
thank you for that, because I just thought it would be nice to hear a little bit about your background and your credentials and quotes, right? Well, so you, obviously, if you're listening this morning, we have our expert in the house. This is the expert panel. Garden Line is here for a full hour, so you have plenty of time to ask your questions. Anything goes. Lawns, potted plants, whatever you're thinking about doing, fertilizer.
Politics? No.
No politics. We are not.
We leave that to Andrew.
We leave that to the professionals. So don't make the plants political, but they can be red, they can be blue, they can be whatever color you want them to be.
Well, I would like to. I have to hold myself back.
But we
won't do that.
Well, 850-437-1620. I guess there's two things that I was thinking about this morning that I'm pretty sure you might want to talk about. We've been dealing with this extreme heat, but then the last few days, and I guess for the next couple of days, we are getting some severe thunderstorms.
Unbelievable.
Kind of scary, actually.
It's almost been three, maybe four in a row.
Yeah, lots
we went
of
one day without
lightning.
It, but the lightning has been phenomenal, just unbelievable. And so we just all have to be careful.
Yes, I saw on the news about a woman getting out of her car with her child was hit by lightning yesterday, and then they were talking about somebody else was on a golf course, for goodness sake.
Well, those are our experts. Our golfers are our experts with lightning.
Well, apparently
they know what to do. They get out of the way.
I think the thing, too, to remember that I was told years ago was to be careful, because even though you see the storms far away, kind of, and you think to yourself, well, I'll play one more hole, or I'll get this last load of groceries out of the car, whatever
right.
it is.
Right.
But that's the problem, because sometimes the lightning precedes that what you're looking at.
Of course.
Right?
No,
and then you go,
exactly
I think that's when people get hurt.
So we just have to be so very careful, and we still need to be careful with the heat. You know, I go back I think it's the old, maybe it's in relation to hurricanes, but, you know, your plants, people, pets, with this heat, you've got to pay attention to all of those.
Mm-hmm.
All of those.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Definitely don't want to leave your pets out in this kind of weather.
No. I bought a spathiphyllum, a peace lily, for my living room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and just...
How do you say that again?
Spathiphyllum.
Whew. Okay, a spathiphyllum, what does that look like?
That's a peace lily.
Peace lily, okay.
That's a big white balloon.
Yes. Okay, I got you.
Okay, that's a peace lily. In any event, so I did it. I had to leave it outside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is more than you want to know, because I didn't have any teenagers there, any grandchildren, to help me bring it inside because it's so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that thing is suffering from this heat.
Oh.
I water it, and then a couple hours later, the leaves just look like old dog ears hanging there.
Oh, no.
So I've got to find somebody who can help me put that thing inside, because that's where it wants to be.
It sounds like a job for the grandkids.
It does. Trouble is, grandchildren are now off at college.
Oh, no. Okay.
So I don't have them to help. I'll find somebody. But my point is that you just, you know, our plants will, you know, react violently to this extreme heat.
Oh, yeah.
Especially those that are shade-loving plants. Mm-hmm. I look at things like coleus and impatiens and tropical plants. You know, you put them in this full sun all day, 95-degree heat, you're going to have problems.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay, well, we've already got some questions coming
good,
in, Mike, this
good,
morning.
Good.
So 850-437-1620. Carolyn texted in. She sent a beautiful picture. How can I kill off ant mounds without them just moving on me?
That's a good help. That's a good question.
They are popping up everywhere. I always love your program, so thank you,
Carolyn.
Oh, that's
great. That's a good question. You can put something like granular spectracide on them, which is or even liquids. But what that does, many times that will move them.
Mm-hmm.
There is a product that a lot of people have used called Amdro. Amdro supposedly is a chemical that will get into the mound, go down, do away with the queen, if you will, and the hill will disintegrate, if you will. I have found over the years that a lot of people use that, but it's not perfect. Is none of that stuff is perfect. You're still going to move some of them.
Well, I guess your question is, how do you keep them from getting on you?
Well, exactly. Well, always use your gloves and just sprinkle that stuff on there. But I would try that Amdro and see if that helps. Like I say, it's advertised to, you know, to put on the mound and not have it move. So give it a shot.
Okay, well, you have to report back to us, Carolyn. Let us know if that works.
Absolutely.
Okay, we got to take a quick break. Have some commercials here, but we'll be back with the Garden Line and Mike Wiggins. If you got a question, now's the time to text it on in at 850-437-1620. Welcome back to the Garden Line on Pep Talk with Meg. Mike Wiggins is here. We're already getting some questions from our listeners. You never know what the question's going to be. So this one's from Martin. He says, what do you think of the counties and cities planting trees in the middle of hurricane escape routes? That's an interesting question.
Well, that is an interesting question, and I have no answer for that.
You must have an area where you've seen them, but it makes sense. I mean, why would you do that? They'd be blown over and block the route, I guess, is what the concern would
exactly
be.
Exactly right. And I would think you would need to be very, if they were going to plant trees, say, in the right-of-way, in an evacuation route, to be very careful with your variety of trees. Some are much more prone to hurricane damage. I look at river birch,
mm-hmm.
one of my favorite trees, a beautiful peely bark to it. But I have found in many of the big hurricanes we've had that the tops will snap out of it. And where it is, that could block the road. Maybe palm trees. We all look at palm trees and say, well, they're not indigenous to our area here.
Right.
But they many times will put up with the high winds as opposed to some of the
other
trees.
That's interesting. That's true, especially yeah. if you think about them being out on the beach.
Oh, absolutely.
Pensacola Beach.
You know, some of the windmill palms and that type of
mm-hmm.
thing. And a lot of the palm trees, of course, there was some debate when they planted them on Palafox Street.
I remember, yeah.
But, you know, it with the new renovations, which I think is a fine idea because, one, the root ball is not that big, so you have more room for people, you know,
to
walk downtown. And
for sidewalks.
And they are resistant to heavy winds.
Huh.
So just a couple of thoughts there. Now, what I would certainly do is sit down with my city council representative or my county commissioner
mm-hmm.
representative and have a long, serious talk with them because they're the ones that can make that call.
Oh, that's great advice.
That's
okay,
what I would do. Exactly.
Okay, we got another question coming, another comment, actually. Joss texted in. You were talking earlier about moving that big piece, Lily, that it was too heavy.
Yes.
So he
did
says,
he volunteer?
Yes. He says, happy to help, Mike.
Oh, man.
Joff at Gulf Coast Pool and Spa. So I got the number here. So that's very sweet, Josh. And you may be getting a call.
I know Josh. I know Josh.
Oh, okay. You do? Okay.
Gulf Coast is a great company.
Pool and Spa,
They really are a good company. And Josh has helped me over the years. So, Josh, thanks for the offer. I may have to just let nature take its course and wait till some of these kids come home from college.
Okay, got another one that came in. This is a little more specific from Mike. He's asking, he says, I've got a lime tree growing in a bucket that is 5 years old and 6 feet tall. Wow. The trunk is about as big around as your thumb. I'm wanting to plant it in the ground. Two questions. One, when do I do it? And two, do lime trees like shade?
No. Yeah. Well, the last answer to the last one, no, you've got to have sun for your citrus trees. You really do. You could get some partial shade, but full shade is not really going to work. No, you don't want to do that. Now, what I would do is wait till we get to a little cooler weather
mm-hmm.
because that tree, if that's been in that bucket, if you will, or that pot for a long time, I would almost wager that the root system has circled inside of that pot.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to be very cognizant of the fact that when you plant that, you're going to have to loosen those roots, which is good. That means it'll accept the nutrients and water and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they can go into a plant shock, especially any plant, but citrus specifically. You're going to have plant shock if you try to transplant them in this heat.
Mm.
You just want to. I would wait probably October, November, even December, and make my move then and get it in the ground. Absolutely.
Okay, so that's a great answer. And then the shade, you said, do you like the shade?
No. Citrus likes full sun.
Okay.
I mean, look at South Florida where all the citrus groves are.
True.
There's no shade there.
And California.
Exactly. There's no shade there.
Okay.
So you don't want to do that. Now, if you're in a situation, all you've got is some shade.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But find the least amount of shade you can. And a lot of people, of course, when they are planting plants or landscaping or especially turf, and they have a lot of shade, will do some radical tree trimming to allow more sun in so you don't have the full shade. Because if you have full shade, it's just not going to grow like you want it to.
Right.
Not
well, 6 feet tall, so it's been doing pretty good so far.
Exactly.
So that's great. I'd love to know how many limes you get from a tree like that.
I would, too. Maybe there's some extra that whom he could spare.
Yeah, we're always open to any kind of harvest here.
we'll take it all.
Our friend Catherine has brought in rosemary and some other things.
Oh, she has.
So
exactly.
We always say yes to any harvesting that goes on. Okay, this is The Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And Mike Wiggins is here. As you can tell, he's an expert on just about everything. So don't be shy. Go ahead and text in those questions at 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will be back with The Garden Line. Good morning. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk. Mike Wiggins is here. So if you've got a question for him, 850-437-1620. What you got, Mike, on your notes over there? He always comes prepared with notes.
Well, just a couple of notes here.
Tips for us.
Quick shots here. I have been asked by some folks, just socially, if you will, if it's too late to put sod down.
Oh, that's a good question.
We are approaching the fall. I mean, we got a lot of hot weather left, don't get me wrong. Should they put down sod? I say absolutely yes. It's a fine time to do it. You know, you just got to pick your variety. I think zoysia grass has become probably the favorite in Pensacola. We need to ask our friends at Werner Turf, what's their best seller?
Mm-hmm.
And I would wager it's zoysia because you see so many zoysia lawns going in. Second would be St. Augustine. Third would be centipede. Those would be the three in order, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
But this week I'll make that a project. I'll give them a call and ask them if they'll share that information with us. But the point is, no, you can do some sodding now. But, of course, you've got to be prepared. You got to have nice, clean dirt, if you will. Rake it smooth. Put down your sod. And then, in this heat, you could still do it, but it's water, water, water. I would say every day until this heat breaks.
Wow, okay.
Then you might be able to back off, but I would water it every day, 30 to 45 minutes,
mm-hmm.
if you do put in the sod. But it's a good time to do it. You may have had some damage from some of your favorite problems. The fungus or sod webworms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not my favorite.
But anyway, and you just need to repair. Whether you're going to sod your whole yard or just going to, for lack of a better term, jigsaw puzzle in various areas that have been damaged, you know, you go to it.
Okay. All right, so we're dealing with the heat and also with the intense rain. Do you have any advice when you have those heavy rainstorms, what to do when you start seeing it pooling up in your yard? When you
go back, go back inside.
Okay. I knew that.
No, that is one thing. There was an article that I saw on the internet the other day. It was kind of scientific, so you know me. I didn't totally understand it.
Uh-huh.
But it's talking about the different type of soils. Okay, and we do have, especially in the southern part of the county, sandy soils. We don't have soil, we have sand. You're going to have some of that pooling, but it will drain very quickly in our sandy soils.
Mm-hmm.
A little further north, where you have a little more clay, a little more dense soil, it may not drain quite as fast.
Gotcha.
But down here in Gulf Breeze,
mm-hmm.
Southern part of in the city, really almost anywhere in the city, you're going to have pretty good drainage, you know, unless you're in a flood-prone area, then that's a whole nother deal.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we've got some more questions coming in,
good.
So we're going to get to those in the next half hour. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Clearly, he's our expert on so many different topics. So get those questions in now at 850-437-1620, and we will get to them in the next half hour right here on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We'll be back. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And this morning, of course, it's time for The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, our gardening expert. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing pretty darn good. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
We got
some text coming in, and there's
all
plenty
right.
of time. So 850-437-1620. Got one from Johnny. He says, good morning. I've got a question about pecans. Now, it could either be pecans Or pecans. How do you say it?
Oh, pecans.
Pecans.
Of course.
Okay. Well, there's some folks around here say pecans. So
I don't know who that is.
I have several pecan trees every year. The squirrels will form the beginning of the season. Pick a nut, chew. I'm not quite sure. It seems it's not ripe. Drop it and pick. Oh, I see. Okay, so the squirrels pick up a nut, chew it, and then they see it's not ripe and they drop it. And then they pick another one up all day, every day until they are ripe and eat them all. Any suggestions?
No.
I have this image of the squirrels having this big picnic around your pecan tree.
Exactly. Aww. I guess your only
so what do you
solution
do about that?
Is to get rid of the squirrels. And the only way I know to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Humanely,
yes,
is to get some squirrel traps and some live traps.
Gotcha.
And get the squirrels, then take them to the neighborhood park and let them loose.
Oh,
but
okay.
But it may be way too many. I know I had a bird feeder that I really enjoyed that the squirrels thought they were going to enjoy it. And I just had a backyard full of squirrels, and there was no way I was going to catch a few of them and move them.
Right. I mean, that seems like a kind of a big project to do that.
It does. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, because you can't really put a fence around it because they'll just jump over.
No, not a pecan tree.
Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of people have, for example, birds that will eat their fig trees. Just a good example.
Right.
And so you can put netting over it called bird netting. It's
right.
Kind of like a mullet net over the tree. And that supposedly will discourage the birds from eating the figs.
Right.
But squirrels, one thing you might do, just I don't know if it would work or not, you can buy these plastic owls.
Oh.
That put them right, let them hang in the tree.
Mm-hmm.
It might scare them away.
Okay.
I don't know if that's work, but
okay, very interesting. Well, if anybody has any ideas about this, or maybe they've solved the problem themselves, you can always help us out by texting in because we do have our official research committee.
We do.
And so sometimes they're awake.
Well,
sometimes
not
they're
today.
Not
today. When they heard that question, they left.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And he says, he's to follow up on this, he says, there's 100 of them. Someone said painting the bottom with white paint.
I don't think so.
I wonder about that. Yeah,
so.
That seems like they would just go around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, we're sorry we couldn't come up with a better answer for you, Johnny, but if maybe somebody, one of our listeners, will be able to fill us in.
It's like the commercial. I can't remember what they're advertising, but it has the lady talking to her son on the phone, and I think the son says something like, "Where's Dad?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's out chasing the squirrels. He's now taking it very personal.
Oh, uh-oh. Okay. Well, one of our listeners, okay, very funny, tested in grease on a pole.
Well.
LOL.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
You never know. Make it slippery.
Exactly. That's what
and then take videos.
A lot, if you do have a big, like a bird feeder on a pole, and you have a squirrel guard, which is a big cylinder that fits over the pole, a lot of people will put olive oil on it, or spray WD-40 on there. So when the squirrels get there, they hit it and they're on the ground.
I would want video of that. I think that could be pretty hilarious. I've seen a lot of video of people that have their bird seed feeders.
Yes.
And you see, I guess they spin when a squirrel gets on there. They're sort of anti-squirrel feeders. And the poor little things are thrown off. Looks like they're riding an amusement park ride.
I think this is one of those problems that's been around for decades, if not centuries, and nobody has found the right solution.
All right, well, maybe one of our listeners have.
850-437-1620. We have the smartest listeners ever.
No doubt.
So if anybody has them, they do.
Okay, well, we got a lovely email from our friend Karen. She says, "Meg and Mike, thank you for promoting the membership tea that was at the Garden Center last week."
Right.
She said we
had
85 attendees.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Wow.
And 22 of those were non-members. So we had several people join the Garden Circle on the spot, which is great. So we have several activities coming up, so tried and true and some new, and I'll let you know details on the events as they come up. Please do that, Karen, because I'm so happy that y'all had a good turnout.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so definitely let us know.
20 people sign up to join a particular club. Good for them.
Yeah, because they had all the different club circles there, so they had opportunities. But we also have, you know, our friends at UWF. I had folks coming in from this past week. I had Josh came in, who was with IFAS in Santa Rosa County.
Yes.
And so he wants to come on the show, he said, to give us some tips. And, of course, we have Beth Bowles, I think it is, that's over at the
Scambia
UWF.
County Extension Agent, absolutely.
Yeah. So if you have any ideas for guests on the show, too, we'd love to. We can always bring folks on and talk about specific things. Your friend that comes on and does camellias every year.
Oh, yeah.
He's always the best.
Skip Vogelsang.
Skip,
he is great.
Yes, yes, yes.
I do have, you mentioned the Santa Rosa Extension Office.
Mm-hmm.
I printed this off because, you know, time flies. But here we are. The Santa Rosa County, I'm going to read this sentence to you. I don't normally read, but I'm going to do it. The Santa Rosa County Extension Office is hosting a Christmas tree production class on August 25th, today. It's part of their farming series. So if you're a farmer or have a lot of land and you would like to grow Christmas trees,
mm-hmm.
This would be the seminar for you.
Oh, wow, that'd be kind of fun.
I was sitting here, the temperature was 98 degrees, reading about growing Christmas trees.
That's what, oops.
Time does go fast.
No kidding, I guess now is the time to do it, right?
Be here before, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, 850-437-1620. As you can hear, nothing is out of bounds. Pecan or pecan trees. We got the Christmas trees. We got all kinds of things to talk about this morning.
Anything you want to talk about, give us a call.
Goes. Okay.
We'd appreciate it.
All right, 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break so we can hear our commercials from all of our favorite sponsors of the show. And then we will be back on News Radio 92.3. Don't go away. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Mike Wiggins is here. He's our gardening expert. We're getting some interesting comments now as we opened it up to talk about the pecan tree and how to keep the squirrels off. So Will just texted in. He says, a slinky. Remember slinkies?
Oh, of course.
A slinky mounted to the top of your bird feeder pole is effective and comical. They climb the poke to reach the slinky, then ride the slinky back to the ground, never reaching the feeder. Oh,
I see what he's saying.
Yeah.
On the base of the bird feeder.
Yes.
You hang a slinky.
Yeah.
The squirrel gets on it to get onto the bird feeder and heads down.
It just carries him right back down. Oh, that's clever.
I told you, we had the greatest listeners. That is
brilliant.
That is, I've never heard of that one.
That is brilliant. Let's see. Oh, and someone said, was talking about the pecan trees. And Johnny says, yes, you do have a lot of information on the radio. Thank you. I joined the Bonsai Club at the Garden Center 2 weeks ago. Excellent. That's so great. The Garden Center is really such a great resource.
I will say this before you leave that one.
Mm-hmm.
My father,
yes,
bless his soul, was the best bonsai guy in Pensacola, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He had so many of them.
Really?
And did some so interesting. I mean, he had bonsais, groves of red maple trees. They were only about 12 inches high.
Wow.
Then he had a lot of the junipers, you know, which are what a lot of people do use for bonsai. So he was so good at it, and just was consumed by it. Every Christmas, I'd give him wire because you have to wire the branches to make them go a certain way,
right?
Or clippers, little clippers to kind of, because you have to clean them up so they don't grow.
I think they're so beautiful and unique, but I would never know. I would not have the skills to do all of that care of it.
Dad had a little bit of the artist about him.
Might be where you get it from.
No, I don't have that talent. That skipped a generation somewhere.
Oh.
No, not me.
Oh. Well, that's what.
But boy, he was sure was so good at it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's really neat. Okay, so we had the comments about the pecan tree, trying to figure out what to do about the squirrels. So our friend Steve from Escambia Bay, and by the way, Steve, I got your message, and I'm not able to open up that text that you sent, so I'm going to send you my work address, and you can send it through email, and then I'll get a copy to Mike to answer that question. But he says, I've seen people wrap pecan tree trunks with metal flashing.
Oh, really?
That's not a bad idea.
Okay, that might work.
That could possibly work, for sure. Interesting.
Exactly.
So we're getting some great ideas here on how to keep the squirrels off the pecan trees. I kind of like the slinky on the bird feeder, though. That's
we need some video. You're right. That is great.
We need video.
You know, and sometimes, you know, when you have squirrels or birds, that type of thing, mm-hmm. sometimes you just have to share.
Yeah.
You just have to share. Let them have their, you know, have their piece, and you take yours and go from there.
Well, I was so annoyed. I think I probably shared this before, but I had a beautiful fig tree in my yard when I had my house in Gulf Breeze. And so I was so excited. I was monitoring it as they kept. And I thought, one more day, I'm going to wait one more day, and they're going to be just perfect. And sure enough, I went out the next day, and they were all gone.
The birds got them.
Birds, the possums, the raccoons. Yeah. I don't know who got them, but somebody.
The birds got them. That's like
everybody
I said.
Everybody got them.
That's where you use your netting on there.
Well, now you tell me.
Yeah, too late.
Too late. Now you tell me. Okay, we're here with Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line, and we're just chatting away about all kinds of different subjects. So if you have a question for him, there's still time, 850-437-1620. So what are some of the other things that we can do in this horrific heat?
This is an important time, in my opinion.
Yes.
A lot, along with the heat and just the general time of year, a lot of our flower beds, if you will, landscaping areas, have had their better day.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to get rid of them and get ready for the fall. So I think it's always a good idea to kind of review how to do that, what to do to prepare that bed for next year. Now, our Garden Line listeners, most of them know this,
mm-hmm.
but you know, it stands repeating. You got an area, let's say you've got some marigolds.
Okay.
A marigold bed. And they're just no good anymore. So what you do, you clear them all out, everything, get it down to bare dirt.
Okay.
All the weeds are gone. The plants are gone. Okay. Then what I want you to do is dig about 8 to 10 inches with a good garden shovel or spading fork is a good way to do that. Or even with a tiller. Mm-hmm. If you're doing a big bed, a tiller would even be better. Then, here you go, add 4 inches, that's a lot, of Canadian sphagnum peat moss on the surface and work it in to the bed that you just prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Put a half inch of some type of animal compost in there, like mushroom compost, something only a half inch.
Okay.
And work that in. Then get some limestone, dolomite lime, granular dolomite lime, not much, because sometimes that depends on what you're planting.
Mm-hmm.
Put a little bit of lime in there, and then sprinkle lightly with a relatively low nitrogen fertilizer. I used to like and recommend 4-12-12. I don't know if you can buy 4-12-12 anymore. That's an old agricultural fertilizer, but you can probably buy some 8-8-8 or some 10-10-10
mm-hmm.
and lightly sprinkle that in the bed. Then turn it all under, all the peat moss, the compost, the lime, the fertilizer, rake it smooth, water it good just to get moisture into all that stuff you put on there, and then plant away when it comes fall. But you can plant, you know, your mums, you can plant pansies,
mm-hmm.
you can plant dianthus, really all our fall plants that we enjoy for color. But if you do the bed that way, I'm not one to say you're going to be guaranteed success, but it sure will help. No doubt about it.
So my question would be, how far out should I do that before I plant the flowers?
Well, if your summer bed, mm-hmm. if you will, has had it,
right.
just do it at your leisure.
Mm-hmm.
You could wait till September or probably even October to do it. But, you know, when the heat goes away, you don't want
right.
to do this in as hot as it's been. But you know, anytime you could do it and have it ready for fall planting.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great advice. I'm going to do that because everything's died in my patio.
See, you say that. I don't believe
that. I'm not lying. I'll bring you a picture.
I don't believe it. No way.
Okay, we got another text in, a very nice text this morning. We've got time for it. It says, good morning. This is Sue. Oh, Sue, I'm sorry you called and we couldn't get to your phone call. Sue, this from last week, was asked about putting spray fertilizer on plants in this heat and was advised to do it on one plant as a test. I did on a hibiscus, no damage. So the plant's okay, but I'm going to wait for cooler weather. She says, regarding the squirrels on bird feeders, I think it says baffles. baffles on my two feeders, and it works fine. Squirrels try but never get to the feeder.
Right. And
thanks for your show. So yeah, what's a baffle?
A baffle is a, I always think of a squirrel baffle.
Mm-hmm.
One is a cylinder. If you've got a 4x4 pole, okay, the cylinder, which is about 3 feet long, fits over the top of the pole.
Mm-hmm.
Then the bird feeder goes on top of that.
Oh.
But that cylinder is one where the squirrels can't,
oh,
they can't get a grip on it.
Right,
and that's
right.
Where we talked about putting oil on it or
right,
WD-40
right.
or
yes,
something.
Yes, yes.
Because they get on there, they slip, and then they fall off to the ground.
Interesting, okay.
And many times squirrels are not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I think once they fall, they don't try again.
I did
see one guy had a solution one time, and he bought them in 12-inch sections, spikes.
Oh.
Metal spikes.
Oh, gosh.
Because his bird feeder was next to a fence, a
mm-hmm.
wood fence.
Mm-hmm.
And he attached, and the squirrels would get on the wood fence and jump to the bird feeder.
Oh.
So he put those spikes on there,
uh-huh.
not to hurt the squirrels.
Right.
But to teach them that they shouldn't get close
them.
To those spikes. And it worked.
Interesting.
Never had a squirrel again.
Wow, what great ideas
yeah.
we're getting. Okay,
exactly.
We are talking about squirrels.
And you can order those on the internet if I'm
okay.
not mistaken.
Great comments coming in this morning. Still a little bit of time left. 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Welcome back to the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Got time for a couple more questions. Here's a good one, a totally different topic. Is clay better for tomatoes? I'm having no luck with potting and garden soil.
I don't really think so. You know, what I would do, remember we just had a little discussion about how to prepare
mm-hmm.
your bed for the fall.
Right.
I think you need to amend our sandy soil for your tomatoes. I think the peat moss,
mm-hmm.
the compost, a little bit of lime, a little bit of fertilizer. If you mix all that in the hole in which you're going to plant the tomato plant, I think you'll do fine. Also, I firmly believe that sometimes a more expensive potting soil is better than some of the really cheap ones that you can find.
Are there things that you should look for when you're looking at the potting soil? Because I've seen bags and bags of it, all different
yeah,
brands.
Yeah, it is hard.
How do you pick
the?
What do you recommend?
Well,
I think you need to
look for a brand name.
Mm-hmm.
Brown Earth is one of the best ones I've ever seen. They've got some good ones at Bailey's Farmers Market.
Mm-hmm.
Some really good ones. Now they're expensive, but they really, really, I think, make a big difference when you're planting tomatoes, peppers, that type of thing. So kind of go with the good stuff. Or, I think, not easier, because it's a little bit more trouble,
mm-hmm.
do the mixture we just talked about, a mixture of sand, Canadian peat moss, and the other elements should give you a better soil in which to plant those tomato plants.
So, because I think of tomatoes as being a summer plant, but there actually are fall tomatoes as well.
That's right. Oh, no, there's no question about that. There's the old saying that you can spend more money on the hole in which you're going to put the plant than you do on the plant itself.
Well, that sounds like it after you described all the stuff that's
exactly
going to go
right.
into the soil.
Anyway, that's the story.
All right, sir. Great show. So many
fun.
Great questions came in.
Fun
thank you
today.
All so much. We tried to get to everybody, and we appreciate you being
I'm going
a
to go
part
buy me
show.
A Slinky right now.
I know. I love Slinkies. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. We will be back in just a couple of minutes after the break with Pep Talk. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Meg. Appreciate it.